NFL postgame is back live on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game with Chad Withrow. I'm Jonathan Hutton. Our show presented by Two Rivers Ford, Renter's Warehouse, and Superbook Sports. And for the next 2 hours, we're talking Titans, Broncos, in-game scores, which includes Dallas and Green Bay, Indianapolis with Jeff Saturday and Matt Ryan making the start for the Colts on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders, and much more. Final scores, recaps, and what was the game of the year between Minnesota and Buffalo. And that's not how we will describe the game we just witnessed at Nissan Stadium. Over the next couple hours, we welcome your phone call, 615-737-1025, 737-1025, our number. We've got Michelle and Junie that will join us from the Titans locker room with interviews coming up as we broadcast live from Landshark Bar and Grill and Sportsbook at Margaritaville on Broadway. You can join us, second floor, all the games, top screens, excellent ways to place your wagers and have some fun as you get ready for Sunday Night Football with the three games that are going on right now. Chad, we're back on 102.5 The Game.
It's good to be back, Hutton. Good to be back with you on this show. And once again, we're talking about an ugly Titans win. But is anything really ugly?
Yes.
When you're winning and you're 6-3?
Yes, it is.
That is the correct answer, because this was, in fact, ugly. 7-3 and outs, I think, was the count for this Titans team today. It was a remarkably bad offensive performance at times on both sides. But once again, if we're going to go with the positive on this Titans team, Ryan Tannehill gave them something at times that Malik Willis is unable to do at this point in his career. What Malik Willis gave the Titans today was a fumble in a really bad spot. And that was an awful...
Todd Downing gave that to us.
That was an awful, awful call by Todd Downing. I know we're going to talk about that. I'm sure there are callers who want to talk about that as well. 737-1025. This was a fireable decision by Todd Downing. I'm not one to burn everything down and fire someone over one game or one decision, but when you, the culmination of everything with Todd Downing in this offense, there was a time in this game where Treylon Burks had a pass breakup on a play that was intended, I believe, for Austin Hooper, because they had two guys in the same area on a route, and it was intended for someone else, and he broke it up on the play. That's an offensive pass breakup for Treylon Burks.
That was on the third possession.
Terrible performance by Todd Downing. Terrible decision at that point in the game. But once again, the defense overcame. Even with some of their stars out on the defensive front, they shined once again. Shane Bowen, Mike Vrabel deserve a heck of a lot of credit for that defensive front for the Titans. They're playing at a great level, a very high level. The offense is exactly the opposite.
We're playing at that high level with some practice squad players who weren't even considered for the practice squad when we started the season a couple of months ago. Titans win 17-10, and the Titans offense, we'll start there. Offense very bad. Their first six possessions, just 51 yards on 22 plays. They gained a total of two first downs on their first six possessions. But after that, 38 plays for 256 yards, and that includes the kneel down in this game, which was a quick sneak at the very end of the game. That way it wasn't in the end zone. No, this was far from amazing. In fact, yeah, I thought it was far from average with what we've seen from Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry in this group. But the good news is they found some plays in the passing game, and it didn't have to come from Dontrell Hilliard, Derrick Henry, or Austin Hooper. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine stepped up and make some plays. A two-touchdown performance. The first wide receiver to have two touchdowns in a game since A.J. Brown. And prior to A.J. Brown, it was Rishard Matthews. It goes back a while. And at least they dialed up the return to sender that had Westbrook-Ikhine wide open for the touchdown in the second half. And that broke the game and the momentum open, despite how putrid this offense can be at times.
Well, they had to dial something like that up because they were not going to score in any conventional means in this game. Derrick Henry was not good. The focal point, clearly, and every defense's focus is going to be on Derrick Henry with this Titans offense. That part of it worked for Denver. But, you know, there's been plenty of defenses who's focused on Derrick Henry. He's still done whatever he's wanted to in games. Was not the case today. The Titans overcoming that and finding a way to win. I really thought the key moment in the game was the Tannehill to Westbrook-Ikhine touchdown right before the end of the half to make it 10-7. To not have to settle for a field goal attempt in that moment. And that was a great throw and catch. He's open in the back of the end zone. It's an out-cutting route. He gets it right before the sideline. I thought a brilliant throw from Tannehill. Great timing on it. Excellent catch getting both feet in by Westbrook Ikhine. We've had some fun at the expense of him and people thinking he's some sort of legitimate threat as a number one or number two receiver.
Including the Tennessee Titans.
Exactly. And that was a moment, though, for him and a nice one for the Titans to get that touchdown in the back of the end zone. And then the trick play, the flea flicker, where he's wide open and made one guy miss down the field and goes and scores.
The
Chigakonkwo 41-yard play. I mean, I'm searching for highlights here offensively.
That's it. I mean,
they hit
two big
plays. That's pretty much it, right?
They had the 60-plus yard touchdown, which is the longest play of the season. And then you have the 41-yarder to Chigakonkwo that, again, was a big conversion. It got them down in range. But let's start with that second half, or excuse me, the second quarter touchdown right before halftime. That drive, Tannehill converts passes to five different receiving options. And on the way into the red zone, oh, by the way, the Broncos' red zone defense had allowed only five touchdowns on 19 red zone opportunities by opponents. They're very good top to bottom, extremely, extremely good in the red zone. They got the touchdown. That's the biggest score of the game because they get the three and out to start. They don't make anything happen on their first possession of the third quarter, but they get the ball back and then hit on that flea flicker return to sender play to NWI, and they're able to take the 14-10 lead. And then late, I don't know what's going on with the third down, third and three, and they take Tannehill out of the game to run that play with Malik Willis, where it's an obvious run. You know, it's a running down. But for whatever reason, there were two other third and shorts today where they did not give the ball to Derrick Henry. They gave the ball once to Dontrell Hilliard
It was a Henry-type play. It was a straight runoff to Hilliard. It wasn't anything tricky
and then
to get him to the
outside.
Earlier
in the game, there was a third and short, third and three or less, and they threw incomplete to Robert Woods. I mean, there's some head-scratchers in this. For an offense that has no momentum, when they actually had it, they put Malik Willis in the game and he fumbled it. I don't know what the line of thinking there is. And, you know, Vrabel signs off on that. That doesn't make sense to me that Vrabel, who's all about not doing stupid bleep, continues to roll Malik Willis out there. And the last times we've seen him enter a game, there have been catastrophes with what they're doing.
You could sense it coming when he started trotting out there for that play.
Cute. This is not an offense that's built to be cute.
I got so many texts that think you knew the fumble was about to happen, that it was going to be disastrous when they put Malik Willis into the game in that spot. It's almost as if Todd Downing has two or three cute-type plays. The first one worked. Full credit for that. They needed a spark. They got it with the flea flicker. But he's got two or three of those a game, and it's almost like he's got it on the play sheet over here off to the side, and he's itching to get to it. He's got to get to it at some point. And there's no rhyme or reason as to when he's going to get to
it.
And they decided to go to it then.
The difference is one of the ones includes the $30 million quarterback who's playing after 2 weeks out. And by the way, do you think that they don't win this game with Malik Willis playing?
Oh, no. No, absolutely not.
At one point,
not.
There was a 2-to-1 passing ratio to run against the Broncos defense.
I mean, just
in this game.
You know, look at Tannehill's stat line, 19 for 36, 255, two touchdowns. Again, the huge play to Westbrook Ikhine, I think 63 yards on that touchdown. And then the 41-yarder to Chigakonkwo, that's most of it. But Malik Willis isn't giving you that.
No.
Malik Willis is not giving you the touch in the back of the end zone to Westbrook Ikhine at the end of the first half to make it 10-7. That's not happening with him in the game. The Broncos absolutely win this game without Ryan Tannehill. The Broncos still managed to somehow have more yards than the Titans, 313 to 307. We know their offensive problems. We've been heavy-handed with Nathaniel Hackett and his issues with running that team also. The Titans' defensive front just affected that game so much in the second half with their ability to get to Russell Wilson throughout the second half. But offensively, Hutton, I come out of this game just it's weird that you get another win and it's 6-3 now and things look good in the standings and all of that. And I'm even more discouraged by the direction of this offense and where they could go because they're not going anywhere offensively. And how long can this really last? Enjoy it now. It's fun to win. I'm not trying to discourage Titans fans from listening to this to not, you know, appreciate the win and be excited about it. Be excited about it. It's a win you had to get at home. You got it. But I'm looking at this offense and thinking there's really not a lot of hope. I mean, we've sort of joked about it. If Treylon Burks becomes A.J. Brown, then the offense can return to what it was a year ago. That's not going to happen. You don't have A.J. Brown. So who's next? This is not a next man up type thing.
No.
Next man up is Malik Willis entering the game for Ryan Tannehill pre-fumble. There's a big drop off from those players, those good players for your team.
And there's been a
great
big drop off from Arthur Smith 2 years ago to now as well.
No doubt.
And again, that needs to be said because some of the things we're seeing for an offense that is run heavy against a solid Denver defense that's not loading the box, one of the best secondaries too, that they're throwing against, the game plan was to throw because Tannehill was available. And for whatever reason, they took him out of a game on 3rd and 3. When earlier in the game, they're not even giving it to Henry on 3rd and 3 or less. The Titans defense, though, continues to be the reason why they are where they are in the standings. Today, 10 points allowed. That's why they won the game. The Titans are scoring somewhere between 17 and 24 points. The defense has them with 6 wins on the season, Chad. 0 second half points today after the Titans were trailing 10-0, 17 unanswered, and they win the ball game. 39 second half points allowed over the last 6 games for this Titans defense. That is tremendous. And they held the Broncos to 4.3 yards per play. They allowed only 65 rushing yards. And Russell Wilson was 21 for 42 in the game. Denver did not reach the red zone. Midway through the game, their best starting field position was like the 34, I believe. So the special teams aspect also played a big factor here. Denver, they were stopped on 13 of their 17 third downs. And, again, they also had Denver in 17 third downs. They had to run a lot of snaps. They didn't make it easy. You had to move the ball methodically, and this Denver offense can't do that. And here's the point of emphasis. They're not playing with Dupree, Landry, or Simmons, and they had 6 sacks. And every drive felt like more and more pressure on Russell Wilson. He was under duress. They would have had more if not for some some neutral zone infractions that were flagged. Tremendous job by the role players as, again, the defense continues to piece things together. And when that happens, it looks like a group that is all out, that understands what is a complex defensive system. They are very well coached. I cannot say the same thing about the offense, and it's a good thing that Tannehill was available.
Absolutely, and specifically on defense, Mario Edwards, a sack, but hit the quarterback, hit Russell Wilson 4 times. DeMarcus Walker, 1.5 sacks, hit the quarterback 3 times. Naquan Jones, I mean, go down the list of just unsung heroes for this Titans front with these guys banged up. It's remarkable. He had a sack, Naquan Jones. Got to the quarterback another time. Constant pressure from guys that you would not expect to be bringing that level of pressure for this Titans defense. And, Hunt, I think it's a great point you bring up that is a group that is clearly being coached up. We joke about that. Can you coach someone up? Can you get someone in a spot that maybe they're outplaying their actual potential? Titans defensively, they do that. With Mike Vrabel, with Shane Bowen, I will continue to say it over and over again. Their ability to plug and play with whoever's on the roster, bringing guys off the street, they step in and make plays. It is remarkable to see. It's the exact opposite of that on offense. It's everything good about the defense and the way they're coached and the play calls and everything else that's coming across defensively. It's the exact opposite with Todd Downing in the offense.
We've got some games going here at the lounge inside Landshark Bar and Grill, and Superbook Sports is on hand. Big thanks to Renter's Warehouse and to Two Rivers Ford for making the show happen. We've got Green Bay and Dallas right behind us, where the Packers have intercepted a pass intended for the end zone, with Dallas leading 7-0. We'll keep you updated there, and we'll keep you updated on the final scores that have concluded now, as well as the other 2 games that are going on. Those include the Cardinals-Rams, Colts-Raiders, That's all straight ahead. We've got some great food and drink specials.
Terrific spot to come after the game here at Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill above Margaritaville on Broadway. $3 off any appetizer. That's right. People that are listening to this and here right now, go get $3 off any appetizer in the bar area. $20 special price for buckets of Landshark, Bud Light, and Mick Ultra. Huge thanks to our host here at Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. You mentioned our sponsors, Renter's Warehouse. You can book your free home rental price analysis today at renterswarehouse.com or give them a call, 615-398-9550. Also, Two Rivers Ford, they've been doing business the right way for almost 40 years. Since 1983, they treat their customers like family. Give them a call, 800-900-1000. You can give us a call. You can react to what you saw today with the Titans. Their 17-10 win over the Denver Broncos at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Let's take some phone calls today. I know people have reaction to Todd Downing and the decision to bring Malik Willis into the game right before the fumble. And how about that Titans defense? We can talk about it. And, Hunt, we'll keep everybody up to date on what's going on across the NFL. Which, by the way, Davante Adams, the Colts lead at 10-0.
Okay.
But Davante Adams just had one of the more impressive runs after catch you'll ever see for a guy that was in a play designed for him to throw the football. It was a throwback where it was a double pass and he was supposed to throw. He got rushed and somehow on 3rd and 10 eluded about 6 guys and picked up a first down.
And one of the best catches you'll ever see happen today in the Vikings-Bills game with Justin Jefferson. We'll tell you about that and the final score in overtime as the Vikings beat the Bills with Josh Allen playing. 615-737-1025, our number. Also coming up, we'll hear from Kevin Byard, Rashard Weaver, Ryan Stonehouse, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and much more as Michelle Knezovic and our Junie Riddle are in the locker room awaiting those chats. And we've got Kenny back at the studio. Ladarius here making it happen on site. And we're with you all evening leading up to 6 o'clock this evening on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. The Titans are 6-3 following their 17-10 win over the Denver Broncos, and they're headed to Green Bay for Thursday night football. The Packers hosting the Dallas Cowboys as we speak on NFL postgame here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. And barring this extra point, which is happening as we speak, Crosby puts it through. We're tied at 7 at Lambeau Field after Christian Watson, the rookie, comes up with a big catch from Aaron Rodgers, and they're tied at 7 apiece early in the late afternoon start.
Could be the resurrection of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers we're witnessing today if they could somehow win this game.
The Colts lead the Raiders 10-7, so the Raiders get on the board. I saw you mentioned the Adams maneuver. He also had a great catch inside the 5-yard line, and then they eventually scored. So it's now 10-7 in that one with about a minute to play, as long as my internet's up to date, right before halftime.
Yep, 58 seconds left in the half.
Cardinals and Rams knotted at 3. No Matthew Stafford in this one. We'll keep you updated on those. Tonight, Sunday Night Football. Chargers and 49ers. We get the Chargers for 2 straight weeks in prime time on Sunday night because their matchup with the Chiefs next Sunday flexed to the best spot of the weekend. We don't have to sit through Steelers-Bengals, although the Steelers won today, Chad. 20-10 over
they
the New Orleans Saints. And we saw a good play from Kenny Pickett.
Poor one
play
of your outright upset picks.
That's right.
Well
some,
done.
Some other finals today. The Buffalo Bills, they fall in overtime to the Minnesota Vikings, 33-30. Josh Allen throwing an interception with a minute 15 left in overtime. Allen now over his last 3 games, and I give him credit because he played in a week where I don't think many thought he was going to as he was battling the elbow injury. 6 interceptions and a fumble over the last 3 games for Josh Allen. Allen played, and they led by 10 early. It was 17-7. 27-10 in the third, and that's when Dalvin Cook hit an 81-yard home run touchdown down the left sideline. After that, they got a touchdown from C.J. Ham. That made it 27-23, missed extra point. But Justin Jefferson with one of the best catches I've ever seen. Skying one-handed, falling backwards. you have the defensive back, Lewis, coming over the top, two hands on the football, one hand for Jefferson as he falls backwards, and somehow, as they're going to the ground, pulls it in all one-handed as Lewis tried to rip it away. One arm versus two, and Jefferson came down with the catch as they fell to the ground.
It was incredible. The body control to bring it in while going to the ground that way was incredible to see. Some crazy good games involving NFC North teams today, because the Lions come from behind to beat the Bears 31-30. Justin Fields, they figured it out with him in Chicago. Just let him run the ball. 13 carries, 147 yards, two touchdowns for the Bears. Jared Goff was a very efficient 19 for 26 for 236 and a touchdown. Speaking of efficiency, how about Tua Tagovailoa? The Dolphins went at 39-17 earlier today over the Browns. Tua was 25 for 32, 285, three touchdowns. In other early games, the Giants beat the Texans 24-16. Hutton, you mentioned that win for the Steelers over the Saints. You had the Chiefs beating the Jags 27-17 at Arrowhead, or whatever they're calling it now, GEHA.
Yeah, Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, let's call it Arrowhead. Let's go with that. I prefer Arrowhead as well. And very early this morning in Munich, Germany, what was it last week? Tom Brady said, man, this is awesome. And then he had an expletive after that. Well, it's awesome again for the Bucs. They beat the Seahawks 21-16 in Munich, Germany this morning. The Bucs now 500 on the season, 5-5.
Did you see the interception from Woolen?
I have not
Tariq
seen
Woolen.
It.
So it was on a pass to Tom Brady that was intercepted. Woolen goes up, the rookie who's at outkick.com every week. He's like second in my defensive rookie of the year candidacy, behind only Sauce Gardner. Goes up for the pick, comes down, and lands literally, I would say, less than an inch between the legs of Tom Brady. Like, we're talking terrible injury for all of manhood here. That yeah. Close. That's why Brady's excited, because he didn't have Woolen come down cleat first on him.
Speaking of the terrible injuries for manhood and mankind, did you see the guy for Nebraska that tried to hurdle the Michigan player yesterday? I mean, he got catapulted 12 feet into the air. It's when hurdling goes wrong. He tried to hurdle, and the Michigan player smartly just jumped into the air and helmet first into his undercarriage and just flipped this guy into the air. I mean, it looked like he was jumping off a diving board as he got hit in the air on the attempted hurdle. It was incredible.
It is up with your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Back to Tua. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins win 39-17 over the Browns. Tua has now thrown for three or more touchdowns and has a passer rating of better than 135 in each of his last three starts. Guy's on fire. And Tyreek Hill did it again, Chad. Another touchdown.
Yeah, and now they're 7-3, and are they a game up on the Bills?
No,
Bills
a three-way tie at first right now in the division. I don't know.
Yeah,
Bills they do have the head-to-head win over them.
The Bills have yet to have their the Dolphins have yet to have their bye. The Dolphins are 7-3. The Bills are 6-3 right now. So
there's a three-way tie atop the AFC.
There's a game-in-hand situation.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the Jets, Dolphins, and Bills. And, you know, the Bills are the hunted. This is what it feels like when you go through a little slump and you've got some injury questions with your quarterback. There was a scary moment for Allen, although it ended up being fine. But he threw an interception in the end zone, Chad, in the third quarter, I believe, late third quarter, maybe early fourth. And as the returner is running down the sideline, he's trying to make a tackle. And I don't know if he was clipped by the returner, the defensive back's leg or knee, or if it was the other offensive player for the Bills who came through trying to make the tackle as well. And Allen was left on the turf as they went to a commercial break on the turnover after the interception. But he obviously came right back into the game. Crazy. I'm surprised he played.
He's a tough dude. I mean, we talked about it on our show, Outkick 360, this week, Hutton, which, by the way, you can hear us on 94.9 FM every week, 2 to 5, or every weekday, 2 to 5 Central Time, that he's that guy, right? If there's quarterbacks in the league that you point to and say, okay, that's a guy who's going to give it a go, regardless of the injury. Josh Allen's one of those guys, and he gave it a go today.
Hit us with your thoughts. Phone line's available. You can talk with Kenny and then get on with us. You go to the front of the line, 615-737-1025. Coming up, we've got more reaction as the Titans win 17-10. You are listening to NFL Postgame. with Chad Withrow. I'm Jonathan Hutton. Superbook Sports Lounge is where we are. It's the Landshark Bar and Grill inside Margaritaville on Broadway, second floor. All the TVs on the afternoon games, reacting to all the live games here, but also we'll take your calls on all things Titans and around the league. Big thanks to our presenting sponsors, Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports. And, Chad, great food and drink specials if you want to swing by this evening.
Yeah, $3 off any appetizer in the bar area. Great spot to come and watch the Sunday night football game as well. $20 special price for buckets. That's five in a bucket. Landshark, Bud Light, Mick Ultra. People having some good time in the bar area right now. Everybody watch this game. Everybody's really in tune with this Cowboys-Packers game that's happening right behind my head right now, Hutton, on this
Nashville's
enormous
no different than the
TV.
Country. You put the Dallas Cowboys and Green Bay Packers on any state, you're going to get eyeballs.
People have a visceral response to that Dallas Cowboys star, good or bad. They're going to have a response to it. There are few people who are indifferent about the Dallas Cowboys. They feel strongly one way or the other. I feel strongly about Jeff Saturday and the Colts up 13-7 on the Raiders. If the Colts win this game, I want an apology from Bill Cowher, from Joe Thomas, from everyone who acted like it is the biggest disgrace and that no one could possibly be an NFL coach and ever do anything good unless you've coached for 12 years as an assistant. Because if Jeff Saturday steps off the get up set on ESPN and puts that headset on and wins a game in the NFL, it is a mark against every current NFL head coach. And I will applaud those who stayed silent about this because they know it's only going to come back to haunt if you lose a game to Jeff Saturday.
And a 30-year-old play caller calling plays for the first time. He's got Matt Ryan, who made the start today, 14 of 18 so far with 147 yards. And Jonathan Taylor, 13 carries, 54 yards. And what has been a very balanced attack for the Colts to begin against the Raiders. We'll keep you updated on the scores. And, again, your phone calls, plus we go to the Titans locker room. It's all straight ahead on 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into the NFL postgame show. I'm Michelle Knezvik with Ryan Stonehouse. Ryan, phenomenal performance today. Mike Vrabel even went above and beyond to say that with you punting for the Tennessee Titans, that you can be the best special teams team in the NFL. What does that make you feel like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a credit to our guys on the punt team. We've just really, you know, encouraged our guys to make plays, tackle, and, you know, it's really taken a lot of the pressure off me just seeing a lot of these guys go down and make plays. And it's just really encouraging to kind of have a leader like Morgan as our snapper, and as well as the Gunners have been doing. It's just awesome. It's a great unit, and we're just excited to keep it going.
And you said your dad was in the stands today. Obviously, your dad was a punter. You said your cousin is, your uncle was. What did it mean to have him in the stands today, especially with how many times you were out there punting the ball?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. You always want to, he comes all the way from California, so you always want to be able to, you know, put on some reps for him and stuff. But, you know, I think it just means a lot that they come out. My family all came out and supported me, so it means the world.
For you, this is the first time you've ever kicked off in a game. What was that like?
It was awesome. I mean, I never kicked off in high school, never kicked off in college. I mean, you know, it was just an awesome experience. I was juiced after every one, so.
So Vrabel said that you found out Randy Bullock wasn't available about 10 minutes before the game. Is that when you found out, like, hey, Stoney, you're up?
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, it just, you know, it's something that I've worked on in the past, but not really recently, and I was excited just to step up and do the job.
Are you excited to maybe get more opportunities doing that?
We'll see. You know, it just kind of depends on Randy. But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm just here to kind of do what I need to help. So that's what I kind of just filled in today.
Being able to flip the field like you do and the importance of it, what does it feel just to get that extra love for special teams?
I think it's awesome. You know, I think the guys really buy in, and it's just creating momentum for the defense. And it's awesome that we can contribute to the game.
And then lastly for you said that one thing that's unique about the way you punt is you do an underhand drop. Do you think that that's pretty common in the punting world, or that it's pretty unique to you?
No, it's very unique. I mean, my cousin does it at Missouri as well, and it's just a style that kind of went away a little bit ago. And
that's Michelle Knezovic with Ryan Stonehouse, literally one of the players of the game, Chad. He's been a great bright spot for this team. Three punts today inside the 20. He's been the man. 55 yards per punt is what he's averaged. His average today, he flipped the field the entire game against Denver, and that factored into all the third downs they had to face, the long drives. That matters a lot, given the fact that you've got to have a very specific path to victory. You're leaning on your defense, so you don't want to make it easy on the Broncos' offense, and this is a defense that played 100-plus snaps a week ago, if you count the penalties that were not accepted, and penalties that were accepted at Arrowhead Stadium. Given all that, he's now punted 51 times this season, second most in the NFL. He's averaging 53 yards per punt. That's gross. That's the best in the league. And he's been tremendous. He's one of the factors why you can look at the record and see where they are because of starting field position and, again, making things difficult on the opponent for a defense that didn't need any more injuries than they already have, and they still got some more today.
Yeah, really good chat with Michelle Knezovic with Ryan Stonehouse. Likeable dude, hearing him in that interview. I got to give full credit to my guy Matt with Renter's Warehouse, who was texting me from Nissan Stadium during the game, and he texted and said, it appears that the offense's cupboard is a bit bare, so it's a good thing that Stonehouse can kick it 100 miles.
Yeah.
This was my reaction early in the game. I'm thinking, man, Ryan Stonehouse is really helping the Titans stem the tide right now when it was scoreless for so long in that game. He's a weapon. And when you've got a defense like the Titans and you've got a lack of
welcome
offense
back into
like the Titans,
NFL post-game show. I'm Michelle.
Well, the other thing, too, they have an ability to adapt and survive. Vrabel's groups do this. That's one of the best qualities about him and his staff. Look at the players today. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, over 100 yards and two touchdowns. Tannehill made the game-winning throws when it mattered as he came back after missing two games with the ankle issue. We mentioned Stonehouse. Mario Ebers Jr., you pointed him out with a sack and two tackles for loss. Rashard Weaver, a sack and a half. You had Mitchell, who led the team in tackles. Dylan Cole with the sack, two tackles for loss, and then he had a great hit on special teams as well. Walker, who at one time played for the Broncos, a sack and a half today. And then Chigakwankwo, who we haven't seen much of. He had a big catch, 41
yards.
That was
huge. In that point in the game, I think it was 3rd and 5 when that happened. That was a big moment because I'm thinking if the Titans don't get this, it goes back to the Broncos. You don't like it where it was at that point. Huge throw and catch to Okonkwo in that spot for 41.
What did you think when they started this game and Tannehill was taking those hits?
I thought that Malik Willis is going to have to come in
me too.
At some point. Now, the one thing is, you know, with the ankle injury, the way he was getting hit, I wasn't as worried. First play of the game, he gets popped.
But Second play, too.
Upon review.
But they lined up in the neutral zone.
Yeah, upon review. Yeah, that was the third down play when they're offsides. First play of the game, though, I mean, he gets, I don't know if it was by design or what happened, but Austin Hooper ran right by the rush end who came in unblocked, and it's a quick throw, so Tannehill throws it out to the left and gets hit from his blind side. But the way the defender hit him, it wasn't as bad as it looked initially. Upon review, watching it on CBS, he got kind of deflected to the ground because every time he got hit, hon, I'm looking more for bodies around his ankle.
On top of it.
It's not the hits to the torso and getting hit hard up top. I was looking at someone rolling up his ankle even worse. And then he took off running the one time to pick up a first down. I'm watching that run thinking every plant. Jerry Jeudy, first play of the game for the Broncos. Bad plant on the grass. Hurts himself, he's out for the game. I was looking at the same thing with Tannehill the entire time.
And I know he lobbied to play in Arrowhead last week, and they could have won that game. We know how that game finished. And with Tannehill in the game, after seeing what we saw today, I think it's apparent they need him whenever you've got to go get points and make a play, right? Go get a field goal in the fourth quarter, which they're capable of doing. Very nice to have Treylon Burks back. I wish they would have worked him in more than what they did. And early on, they tried to target him. And
what's the deal with Robert Woods? I don't understand what's going on there.
He's not a number one. When he signed here, A.J. Brown was still on the roster.
You know, it's a very similar situation to Allen Robinson with the Rams. He's done nothing.
Well, but
since getting there.
But the difference is
Allen Robinson had a better track record coming in, I'll say.
Robert Woods was very good when he was asked to be the second number three guy.
Yeah, he's not a number one.
No, and they don't have a number one. And so that's the issue. You don't have to focus on the other guy. In L.A., you're focusing on Cooper Kupp. I'm more worried about Allen Robinson than
Allen Robinson,
based on the fact he's playing with Cooper Kupp.
But Robert Woods has to bring them more than what he is. If Nick Westbrook and Kenne, again, I know the flea flicker is a big part of it, but if he can go for over 100 yards and two touchdowns, Robert Wood is capable of doing the same at some point. I would hope,
Jed,
from a Titans perspective, he's capable
first,
of doing that.
It's the first 100-yard gain by a Titans receiver since A.J. Brown's Thursday night football beatdown single-handedly of the San Francisco 49ers last year.
That's incredible.
On December 23rd.
It's been too long, Hutton. It's been way too long. By the way, Dak Prescott picked off again, and now the Packers are in business again with it tied at 7 right now. I believe it's still tied at 7. I'll double check.
Yeah, it is. It's 7-7, okay. Cowboys and Packers. Green Bay with possession, 2 minutes 20 seconds to go. And Colts still lead the Raiders 13-7 with Matt Ryan and company. Jeff Saturday, everyone involved. They're about to start the second half. Cardinals lead the Rams now 10-3. So let me click on this and tell you who scored. It was Connor on a run. He has 8 carries for 21 yards and a touchdown in this. DeAndre Hopkins, 7 catches for 58 yards. And to start the game, let's see, Colt McCoy. It's a battle of backups, by the way. Colt McCoy, 17 of 24 for 136 yards. Meanwhile, looking at L.A., Wolford is 8 of 14 for 52 yards.
John Wolford, my Outkick column of the worst backup quarterbacks. He made the list. He was top 5. Worst backup quarterback. Maybe he can prove me wrong today. Big thanks to our sponsors, NFL Postgame, with Jonathan Hutton, myself, Chad Withrow, Two Rivers Ford. They've been doing business the right way for almost 40 years. They treat their customers like family. Give them a call at 800-900-1000. And Renters Warehouse, book your free home rental price analysis today at renterswarehouse.com or call them 615-398-9550. We'd be remiss not to mention also Superbook, a sponsor of the show. We are in the Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville, right in the thick of Broadway. And it is packed, like it always is. Broadway's packed on Tuesday at 11 a.m. It's packed on Sunday evenings. I don't know that there's a time Broadway's not
slammed
with people.
There are Titans and Vols fans downtown today.
Titans, Vols, it's a weird mix because Colorado beats Tennessee in basketball. You got Colorado versus Tennessee in 2 games. Same time in Nashville. Colorado upsets the Tennessee Vols basketball team. The Denver Broncos can't get it done against the Titans. But if you ask either fan base of both, you'd much rather take the NFL win in the one of scenario in November over a November college basketball game that will probably largely be forgotten come even January or February of this season for both teams. But, hey, congrats to Colorado. Nice win on a neutral side against Tennessee. They worked the Vols over in the second half after falling behind by 2. And it's the Titans that get it done against the Broncos. Phone lines open. Give us a call. Let's react to the game. 737-1025. 737-1025. I want to hear from some people on their initial reaction to Todd Downing when Malik Willis came trotting onto the field. And just in general, the direction of this offense under Mike Vrabel. Hutton, if Mike Vrabel has one possible weakness as a coach, and I believe he's an elite NFL head coach, it's he may be too loyal. He may be too loyal to guys like Craig Aukerman. He may be too loyal to a guy like Todd Downing. We'll see.
Aukerman's group's doing well.
Yeah.
I have no beef with the special teams this year. Really don't.
Packers score, by the way. Aaron Jones into the end zone. About to be 14-7 pack up on the Cowboys.
Coming up, though, I do want to discuss defense. And I can tell you where the NFL sees the Tennessee Titans at the very top of the rankings defensively. And the area where they are tops in the league since that Monday night beatdown in Buffalo. That's all straight ahead on NFL Postgame on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Welcome back into the NFL Postgame Show. I'm Michelle Knezek with Kevin Byard. Kevin, listen, you guys have had a lot of injuries on the defensive end. As a leader on the defense, how did you help just motivate your team as you headed into this week with a lot of guys not being able to play today?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, man, there's really no motivational speech that needs to be taking place. It's pro football. The way it goes is that when guys are down, other guys get an opportunity to go out there and shine and make a name for themselves. So big ups to those guys, especially on the front four. Made a lot of plays. DeMarcus Walker getting sacks. But that's the type of things you kind of you're happy that guys that, you know, may not play a lot of rotational guys get an opportunity and they ball out. So but definitely thankful that we have a lot of good depth behind all the positions, and everybody's held to a certain standard here. So nobody's expecting a backup to go in there and not play as good as the guy that was just in there.
You mentioned DeMarcus Walker, Mario Edwards, Rashad Weaver, guys stepping up in the front, you know, getting some sacks today, especially without Jeffrey Simmons. Rashad Weaver, what can you say about their performance today?
Yeah, I mean, we expect a lot out of those guys on the front four. Making plays. Rashad, we was made plays for us. Mario made a lot of plays last week as well, so he's really coming along. But like I said, man, guys are just, you know, it's opportunities. Like, in life, you know what I'm saying, life in this league, you know, when other guys go down and you got an opportunity to go out there and shine, you either take advantage or you let it slip through your hands, and they just did a great job of taking advantage today.
Terrence Mitchell's been one guy who's definitely taken advantage of his opportunity he's got with the Titans. What have you seen from him just in the secondary in practice and especially, you know, kind of sealing the deal at the end of the game today?
Yeah, he's a veteran guy. Obviously had some struggles a little bit earlier in the year, but he was coming straight off the street, really just having to learn defense on the fly, and he's been settling in. But like I said, Christian goes down, another guy steps up, play a lot of snaps for us, and he made some plays. So happy for those guys because, like I said, everybody's treated to a certain standard, and they live up to that standard.
Thanks, Kevin. Back to Hutton. Back to you, Hutton.
Yeah, Michelle, thank you. And that was a defense today that was on point regardless of who was playing, to Kevin's point there. Kevin Byard discussing what is an elite Titans defense. Without Jeffrey Simmons today, no Bud Dupree, no Christian Fulton, guys going down throughout the game, David Long and others. And Chad,
David Long went out, came back in for a short time, then came right back out. Did he get back in after that?
No, he went out. He had a stinger, and they put him back in. I think they put a heating thing on him.
Yeah.
He went back out, and then on the very next tackle attempt, same thing. You know, his arm's going numb, and I can't imagine what that feels like.
Yeah.
So
back
I think
you're
trying to go back out there.
Show we're here with
bad, but yeah, it was not ideal for him, and hopefully he's good to go. And what is a short week now? See, that's the other turnaround here is not only is it a short week, it's a road trip. So they'll be traveling on Wednesday. They're not gonna practice this week. There'll be a walkthrough shakeout type deal tomorrow and assess where they are. And Tuesday they'll walk through their game plan. Do it again Wednesday morning, travel to Green Bay, kick off at Lambeau Field Thursday night, where currently the Packers lead the Dallas Cowboys 14-7. And, Chad, this past week we said Vegas knows something with this game.
Yep.
Because Dallas, coming off a bye at 6-2, and as bad as the Packers have been offensively, this was only like a 5.5-point spread.
And look at it now. Packers leading 14-7. Also an update from Vegas. This is the pitfall of having Matt Ryan as your starting quarterback at times. They have it 3rd-and-1 from the Raiders 18. The Colts do. Almost.
Okay.
Instead of throwing the ball away or running it, they try a play-action pass. It leads to Matt Ryan actually avoiding the first sack, which that leads to him rolling out about 7 yards further back and get sacked way back if somewhere in the 33-34 range. They attempt a long field goal, hits the upright. So the Colts had a chance, if they just take a knee from the 18, kick the field goal to go up 2 scores. Instead, they missed the long field goal off the upright. It remains 13-7 Indianapolis over the Raiders right now in the third quarter. 9:02 left in the third quarter of that one.
And it's 17-3 at halftime. The Cardinals leading the Rams, where Colt McCoy is the starting quarterback for Arizona. Wolford, the starting quarterback for L.A., both starters with Murray and Stafford out. And James Conner with a touchdown run, and then McCoy had a touchdown pass to A.J. Green most recently right before halftime. And again, it's 17-3 there in the battle of the NFC West. The Titans, Chad, they have the best run defense in the NFL. And since Buffalo, they've allowed the fewest points per game in the NFL, just 15.1 in those seven games. And in those games, they've allowed just 61 rushing yards. So they're capable with their scheme to make you one-dimensional, and they make plays, and they make you drive the field, which special teams and Stonehouse, all of that factors in to everything they're doing. And so far, it's equaling wins much more often than losses, despite how bad the offense has been at times. Dalton Schultz, their franchise tag player this offseason, gets a touchdown catch from Dak Prescott, and they're an extra point away in Green Bay. The Cowboys are from tying the Packers at 14.
The two interceptions from Dak Prescott, I believe both of them were targeting Dalton Schultz on the play that led to the interception, paid off on that one, as that's now a tie game. Going back to the Titans, Hutton, in this formula that they've shown so far, coming up, that's going to be really put to the test. Packers are one thing. They've been bad offensively. That could probably work in Lambeau Field. Play defense, don't generate much more than maybe 300 yards of offense and 17 to 24 points, and you could win that game. Not going to be the case against Cincinnati, not going to be the case in Philly, but the saving grace of this Titans team is, after that, and Hutton, you know the schedule, Jacksonville, Texans, Jacksonville. That's three of the final five games of the season.
Well, and they've built such a nice cushion now in the division that, you know, they get a nice win today over an AFC opponent, for instance, if it comes down to a tiebreaker for home field or whatever it might be for the third seed if you end up with the same record. Point being, they're winning the tight games to at least establish the fact that they're capable of hosting a playoff game more than just that first round of the postseason because they're a division winner. And the question is, can they get over the hump whenever they're asked to win a different way than running the football and shutting down the opposing offense? At some point, you got to step up and make plays. And Tannehill playing today scored 17 straight. It wasn't pretty by any means. But they were able to hold Denver to 10 points after trailing 10-0. And they're able to play the formula in the second half once they grab that 14-10 lead on the second touchdown from Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Hit us with your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Chad, we need some calls. We want some reaction. We want Titans fans to chime in, and we'll continue with all of the scoreboards as well.
Yeah, we'll continue to update on what's going on late afternoon games, the late afternoon sesh of the NFL. We'll let you know what's happening there. But we want to hear from you. Thoughts on the Titans, if you're headed home right now, thoughts on the win over the Broncos, thoughts on what's ahead, thoughts on Todd Downing. I know a lot of you have hot takes. We'd love to hear those scorching hot takes right now. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Load up those phone lines. We want to hear from you. And a big thanks to our sponsors, Two Rivers Ford and Renters Warehouse.
We are back at Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill inside Margaritaville on Broadway. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.